The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Everybody, woo! Happy NFL New Year. Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. Joining me now, it is, Wednesday, March 17th. It is 4 p.m. Eastern Time. That means the 2021 league year has begun. It's so weird that we celebrate a New Year's in the middle of the day on a random Wednesday in March, but that's how we roll. Teams may officially announce deals. Pretty soon, Carson Wentz will be traded to the Colts. It's over, Debo. It's officially over. The Wentz wagon crashed into a wall and it's dead. You can root for the Colts next year. Joining me to break it down. Oh, a Ryan Finley Wilson, of course. An actual Irish gentleman celebrating it in the most Irish fashion. Tyler Sully Sullivan and a fake Irish guy, John Breach, who's wearing a lime green bow tie.
What's the shirt say?
It is not a lime green bow tie. It is St. Patrick's Day green, Brinson.
What's your shirt side there, buddy?
I'm not sure you know how that works.
I don't know. My wife bought it for me.
You didn't look at it pre-put.
It's the first time I've ever worn it. I can't read it.
Well, it's got beer on it. It fits.
There you go.
So you were late for the podcast because you had to get a bow. You were trying to figure out how to crappily tie a bow tie.
I'll be honest. I had to find the bow tie. I wasn't going to show up to a recording on St. Patrick's Day without the bow tie, which I knew was in my house somewhere. It took me a few more minutes than I thought it would to hunt it down. I only wear it once a year. It's a pretty special bow tie.
The funny thing is, Breach, 364 days of the year, you can count on Brinson being dead ass last to every meeting podcast. He is angry that we didn't start this, St. Patrick's
Happy
Day.
Happy New Year!
What is going on?
Don't you love the New Year?
Happy League New Year, Ryan. Show a little enthusiasm.
I know.
Tyler here?
He's got like a green backdrop, it looks like. He's festive. We got it.
Oh, podcast is green. I just put on my green hat. I actually have an actually green hat. Sully,
white hat. Okay.
What is your typical St. Patrick's Day consist of, real quickly?
Obviously it's podcasting with you guys, right? I mean, that's exactly what every boy hopes and dreams of this time of year. No, usually going to a bar, you know, it's really nothing special around here. I mean, it's probably what 99% of Bostonians do. You go to a bar, have a few and you enjoy the day.
Sully, as someone who lived in Boston for 3 years back in the day before you were born, do you prefer St. Patrick's Day more? Because I'm assuming you are in fact Irish. Or do you prefer Patriots Day more? Because they feel like similar holidays.
Patriots Day is probably a little bit more unique. I mean, you know, St. Patrick's Day is cool. Like, you know, it's fun. But, like, you know, you celebrate it over the weekend. You know, you go to Southie or something like that. I mean, but it's almost like Halloween for a lot. Like, that weekend when you get back for Halloween or Thanksgiving, it's like an amateur night.
Exactly.
Kind of an amateur thing around Boston a little bit. I mean, it's cool. It's different. You know, it's
Patriots Day. You have the marathon. You have the Red Sox playing early.
They play at like 11:15.
I think everyone, it's a holiday. We didn't go to work, I don't think, on Patriots Day back in the day either, right? It's a holiday
most people don't go to work, especially if you're in the city. You don't go to work.
That's right. So you just go make that happen. All right. I was just wondering.
I once ran into a Patriots player at a bar on St. Patrick's Day.
What?
I thought you were going to say it's your bachelor party.
Well, it was my bachelor party. It was on St. Patrick's Day.
I thought Gronk dressed up for your bachelor party. Didn't know you were going to be there. I forgot that it was. All right. Look at that. Two for two. Good.
Wait, you had your bachelor party was on St. Patrick's Day?
It was on St. That's why Gronk was dressed as a leprechaun. That wasn't completely random.
I got to tell you, I think one that's interesting. I'm not surprised that you would do that. You wanted to steal attention away from the good Irish people by making it your bachelor party, making it all about you. But two, Breach, I'm a little surprised that you would waste an opportunity to double down on partying.
No. This is called double dipping, man. You combine a bachelor party with St. Patrick's Day. That's total chaos.
Or like now you can finally get blackout on your bachelor party or like drunk as hell on St. Patrick's Day?
No, there's because like if you have your bachelor party, you want total craziness. You want debauchery. And if you want craziness and debauchery, you have it on a drinking holiday in a drinking town. And that's when you have professional football tight end showed up dressed as leprechauns.
It adds more wild. I think we lost Brenton, but it adds more wild cards. That's basically what it is. Like that's the biggest thing. Like, yes, you and your buddies are all going to get wasted, but all these other people are going to come in and out of the woodwork like Rob Gronkowski.
Exactly.
Well, the funny thing is, Tyler, that Breach mentioned all this setup for the bachelor party, which makes complete and total sense. But the kicker is he invited his dad, who had to stay sober and had to interview Gronk and get all the details because Breach couldn't stand up. Did I get that right?
That's about 80% right.
I was trying to log in because I wanted to be able to, I can't see the chat right now, Debo. Do you know how we can fix that?
You make the screen smaller.
That's intentional.
Debo had to privatize the chat because Brinson's been writing mean things to the.
Is that really intentional? You didn't want those Bears fans to come out. You don't want me to be ripping the Bears fans?
You just get a little distracted, I think, at times.
Right. Is it really intentional?
Yeah.
He's the kindergarten teacher.
I'll showcase some of the chat when the time calls for it.
I mean, your specific instructions were to incorporate the chat as part of the podcast.
Now, Debo, is there...
Oh, you know, I know what happened. Somebody came and yelled at you and was like, that podcast was too long.
No, none of this is true. This is,
I know what happened.
That's a good theory.
Because that person yelled at me, too. It was like, that podcast is too long.
And then what happens, Brinson starts this thing with a 20-minute intro, and we don't even talk football. And we just end the podcast after sharing our best St. Patrick's Day drinking stories.
A couple of notes that are happening.
I had a quick question for Debo. Okay. Is there any way that you can remotely control Brinson's televisions? If you could turn those off, then we'd be on to something.
I'll work on that. Our guy.
Hey, Bayern Munich is playing right now.
Hey, you said it right. Good job.
Thank you. Munich. a couple of notes. The Oakland Raiders, two offensive line pieces coming out of the gates. One, Richie Incognito, who was released, is back with the Oakland Raiders, so he will be returning. That's a big plus for them. And they traded, not released, center Rodney Hudson, traded him to the Arizona Cardinals for a third-round pick. Not a bad little haul, I guess, for Oakland versus releasing him.
First thing, you know, I had the swear jar last year when I got football team wrong. You now owe $10 because you just said Oakland. So that's two.
Oh, God, again?
So we're going to have a blowout beer-wise when we get together with these swear word jar things. So the other thing is, I think it's hysterical that they cut their entire offensive line, or four of the guys traded Trent Brown back to sell these Patriots, and they cut Rodney Hudson, and they figured out, oh, my God, everyone loves Rodney Hudson. Maybe we should keep him and trade him. Like, what are you doing that you don't know that? It's almost like Mike Mayock isn't allowed to make decisions and someone else is doing it. And just doing it out by the seat of his pants and just randomly coming to conclusions that don't make a ton of sense.
On the Hudson thing, I will say real quick, your boy Mark Sanchez of Butt Fumble fame, he actually had some news. He had some news about this story. He said Rodney Hudson requested to be released. Remember, this was kind of like a crazy situation the other day. It was like, why are the Raiders cutting the only good offensive lineman they have left? And Hudson was just tired of playing for a team that he didn't feel like was going anywhere, which is interesting because that's not a great endorsement for the front office, for John Gruden, for anyone with the Raiders. And so that was it. And they said, all right, well, we owe you $3.5 million guaranteed. If you're willing to like give that up and we don't owe you that money, then we'll give you your release. And instead of that happening, he gets traded.
It is kind of a wild perception though, real quick, that of like, how quickly the Raiders have changed. Cause when Russell Wilson put them on their list, we're kind of like, oh wow, the Raiders, they're kind of coming out of nowhere. Maybe they are a draw. They moved to Vegas. They're up and coming. And I know that like viral picture of Derek Carr dropping back and there's like the Grand Canyon in front of him because the offensive lineman's blocking everybody. And now all these guys want to leave. It's like, okay, well, you were trending in the right direction for a second there, but now it seems like it's going down a free fall.
Yeah. I don't know what they're doing.
Well, that's what we were sort of saying yesterday. It's like this, I mean, they don't have a defense.
But even like Breach said about Mark Sanchez's story about Hudson, if you're the Raiders, you don't say, okay, I'll just release you because you want to be released. I would imagine try to trade them first, right?
Yeah.
Well, they did. They didn't grant the release and they traded them. So I think they said, we'll release you. And then they probably said something like, what if we find a team that you want to play for? How do you feel about that? Cause now you don't have to move. You have a house in Vegas. You can just drive to Phoenix or just move to Phoenix in the off season. It's only like a few hours.
Yeah. It's not that far a drive.
Not bad at all.
That's an interesting theory. What I wonder is why, if they're planning to, it seems like the Cardinals gave up not a lot for him. Like, I think giving up a third round pick is fine for him considering what their needs are and how they, they want, like, Rodney Hudson's a really good player. And now you have, I think, a team in the Cardinals that will compete. But I guess it's like, how do we get from the Raiders are going to release him to Arizona's willing to give up a third round pick? Presumably there's somebody else out there.
That was part of the thing. That was part, I think Schefter, someone reported that, there was a ton of interest in him. And they're like, oh, we can trade this guy. Why they didn't?
I'm saying somebody else must have offered a fourth round pick or a third round pick as well. Maybe it's the Packers or something. I mean, anybody who,
Steelers, Ravens.
If the news leaks that, hey, we're going to release this guy, I'm sure some teams are going to go check in and say, hey, before you do that, because it was just I believe at the time it wasn't even like the Raiders have released. It was planning to release. I mean, obviously it was. And so you, if you're any sort of team that isn't on Rodney Hudson's wish list or something like that, like Miami for me comes to mind. Is that a team that needs a center? They call up and say, hey, what do you want for him instead of releasing him? What would it take to acquire him? And a team like the Cardinals coming out over the top and saying, hey, listen, we'll try to make something work here. It turns into a little bit of a bidding war.
Yeah. Can I float my paper?
By the way, do you want to hear the Raiders starting line real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's going to be Colton Miller, Richie Incognito, James, and then either Simpson. So yeah, James at center, Simpson good, and then they're going to have to find somebody else to play right tackle. So, yeah, I mean, like, this is the strength and the backbone of this team, and it is no longer the same thing. So go ahead, Wilson, on your theory on the Patriots.
I don't know what they're doing. So, Sully, here's what I've been floating the last 2 days. Belichick said, okay, we suck in 2020. Kick the crap out of us. We don't care. You better win. And the Bills didn't win. No one in the AFC actually won. And so now he's just going, balls to the wall, crazy. And if this were any other team, you're like, okay, this guy's out of his mind. This is something a Washington football team would do in the offseason, then win 3 football games. But I feel like the missing piece is still Cam Newton. I do wonder if they're doing all this to make a move up from 15 to get a quarterback, because I don't know how much you trust Cam Newton. I just don't know if he's healthy enough to ever return to form. But I feel like if you're the Bills, you are extremely worried right now because it may be a one-and-done type situation in that division.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly something to think about, and it's almost like you read my column that came out yesterday, Ryan. It was, basically highlighting just that. All of these moves don't feel like – they don't mirror what they did with Cam Newton. And if what makes any sense, I bring it down like this. Like, they sign all of these guys to multi-year deals – and if they thought that this was building around Cam Newton, well, Bill Belichick's savvy enough to sign him to a multi-year deal, because if that's all he thought was the difference, then Cam Newton theoretically should show out in 2021 and will be way more expensive next offseason. So if you're Belichick, you get him on the cheap for multiple years now. And if you thought that that was your missing link, if you just surround him with talent, then that's great. To me, it just doesn't feel like this is it. It doesn't match the aggressiveness out of everything else they've done on the roster. And now they've basically freed up their entire draft board, right? I mean, I think essentially all of the needs, or at least major needs that they had heading into the offseason are now been filled. I mean, Ted Karras coming back to play center, probably, you all but lost David Andrews essentially. That's a need, I guess, maybe for long term, because you've only signed a 1 year deal. But ultimately, now you have all these picks, number 15, do you attach a bunch of them and Stephon Gilmore or something like that to get into that back top 10 to see if you can get a Mac Jones that's falling or something along those lines? It's going to be tough because there's a ton of teams, as you know quite well, that need quarterbacks in that top 10. But I think that's probably the move now.
Any pick that you, one more question real quick. Any pick that you hate that they signed so far, free agent pick?
I think the one that probably the receivers to me give me the most, it's probably the most puzzling, just because, and they're not particularly, it's not like, we'll see how the contracts are structured. I doubt that it's, super crazy a lot, with anything that they're doing financially, but you're really kind of, it feels like there's another step to be made in the receiving core. And I understand that the Patriots offense is all about the tight ends, and those are really going to be your number one receivers, Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. But Kendrick Bourne, Nelson Agholor, two guys that, you know, maybe just popped a year ago, it just doesn't feel like they're going to move the needle as much as you want. Like, who is going to be your number one? Who's going to be your number two? It feels like they're just going to be in the mix with Edelman if he comes back, Jacoby Myers, Gunnar Olszewski, and N'Keal Harry if he's still on the roster.
Couple other things that just happened. Marlon Mack, according to Tom Pelissero of NFL Media, returning to Indianapolis. Jonathan Taylor dynasty owners wince in pain at that notion, but a good signing by the Colts there. $2 million for him, and ba 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 ba. It is official. The Andy Dalton signing by the Chicago Bears. Here's the best part though. The Bears just announced it on Twitter, and the signing of Andy Dalton was sponsored by Hyundai. Like, how freaking great is that? Like, it's like Hyundai's are great and nice cars and everything, but it's like a mid-tier automobile. That's what Andy Dalton is. That's exactly what he is. Like, you couldn't afford the Lexus. You couldn't afford that. Oh my God. I love it too much. Anyway.
Hey,
no offense if you guys have a Hyundai. Hyundai would be nicer than my car.
When I was going back and forth to Stanford, I got the occasional Hyundai. Not bad.
Good cars, but like, you wouldn't think, oh, this Hyundai is taking me to the Super Bowl.
No.
Or this Hyundai is taking me to the playoffs.
You would think,
oh, look, a used Hyundai I bought from somebody in Cincinnati.
That's right. If you're driving the Super Bowl.
Fans were hoping for Russell Wilson brought to you by Lamborghini. They ended up with Andy Dalton and Hyundai. Yes,
correct.
Hyundais are dependable cars that get you from point A to point B. And point B this year is in Los Angeles for the Super Bowl. I'll see you there, Bears fans.
No. Hyundais have a governor at 60 miles an hour. That's what they you have a little thick steering or a thick gas pedal so you can't go too fast. There's all kinds of like things implemented. It's just nice and steady, just like Andy.
Oh, I know what I had to ask. Have any teams made any crazy moves to get under the cap? Because I haven't seen anything just yet, but I know you guys are staring at Twitter more than I am, because there were a lot of millions of dollars left out there, right?
The Rams were the most over, and I know they went crazy over the past 48 hours, kind of restructuring a bunch of, but they also traded Michael Brockers because they wanted him to take a pay cut, and he didn't do it.
Tell the part of the story where it gets funny with Michael Brockers. Did you see that?
I mean, there is definitely the funny part, because he got traded to the Lions like 3 weeks after saying that Matthew Stafford's a huge step up from Jared Goff, and now he's playing with Jared Goff again. The irony train just ran him over.
And then backed up.
The Rams on SpotTrack.com are still $14 million over the salary cap.
Yeah, there we go. Saints are under.
It's not updated because they had to be under by 4 p.m. So they're under. We just don't
know
how
they got done. Did they do something funky this year where they gave them a little bit of an extension?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, too.
So, yeah, four teams are still in the red. The Bears, the Eagles, the Saints, and the Rams. That's bad news for Debo there. The Eagles have them.
But I think the Rams, this past week, we know they restructured Jalen Ramsey and Robert Woods. They were still looking at Aaron Donald and Cooper Kupp. So they had a lot of room to pick up some cap space. And obviously you trade away Michael Brockers, you free up some cap space. So they've been pretty busy doing these little minor things, to get under the cap, because they were $33 million over on Tuesday.
Are you following a rundown, Brinson, or can I just ask questions?
You can do whatever you want.
Briggs, how do you feel about your guy, AJ Green, going to Arizona to join Rodney Hudson?
You know what? We talked about it with JJ Watt. That is, you're an old player with just maybe a little bit of talent left. That's where you go. Emmitt Smith did it. Kurt Warner did it. I actually think it's a good fit for AJ Green because, look, he's not a number one receiver anymore, but I think he has enough left in the tank to be a number two guy. And so you already have DeAndre Hopkins there. You know, I don't know what this means for Larry Fitzgerald. I don't know if that means he's going to retire. The Cardinals assume he's going to retire. But I think AJ Green can be a really good number two guy in Arizona. And at that price, I think that's a bargain for a good number two receiver.
Does anybody here, and I would imagine Fitzgerald's probably retired, but does anyone here think that Green is better than Fitzgerald at this point? Because I don't.
Oh, yeah. AJ Green's a lot better than Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I would take Green over Fitzgerald. Right
really?
Now. Yeah, way better.
At least the ceiling's higher. I'd say that. That's probably how I would say.
Larry's toast, man. Larry might come back this year just because he thinks the Cardinals have, you know, they're bringing in JJ Watt. You know, they got Hudson.
The best ability, availability. And AJ Green ain't available.
Larry's hanging around to break NFL records at this point. He's trying to catch Jerry Rice.
AJ Green was available 2 years ago. He's just like, nah, F y'all. Y'all stink. I'm not coming back from this injury too early and then getting hurt. And then they tagged him last year and he was getting overthrown by that overrated rookie Joe Burrow.
I watched more than just kidding.
Burrow's great.
I was watching way too much Bengals football last year. And I think Breach would agree. There were long stretches where AJ Green was an absolute no show.
Yeah. I mean, that's the truth. Well, you talk about practice. You talk about, Burrow knows who's going to be there going forward. You have Tyler Boyd, you have T. Higgins. Those were the guys he was looking to. He just wasn't looking to AJ Green. And maybe that's because AJ Green couldn't get separation. AJ Green wasn't the player last year that he was 3, 4, 5 years ago. And so that's why I do think Arizona's a good fit, just because DeAndre Hopkins is already there. And so I think he'll get at least, we'll say, over under 60 catches in Arizona.
I think way under.
And one thing that I thought that was a little bit interesting with Arizona, just to bring it back to something that I've been kind of following, you know, N'Keal Harry's been in trade rumors and things along those lines. And it kind of felt like the Cardinals were one of those teams that might have been interested in him. I know that he had comments prior to the draft that said if he fell out of the first round, he was very confident that the Cardinals were going to take him at number 33. So that was a team that was very popular around here to say, okay, if that's a possible trade partner. And I wonder now if that kind of eliminates it. Again, it's only a 1 year deal for AJ Green, but I mean, how many receivers are you really going to have, especially if Larry Fitzgerald comes back?
And if Patrick Peterson re-signs with the Cardinals, which we don't know what's going to happen until he reveals it with BMAC.
Did he send a tweet out though that sort of hinted?
There was a picture of him celebrating in a Cardinals uniform, so it could happen. But if that happens, that means the Cardinals are going to have 3 of the top 11 picks from the 2011 NFL draft on their roster with J.J. Watt, A.J. Green, and Patrick Peterson.
Go ahead. Sorry.
That fun fact was brought to you by Hyundai.
And that dumb bow tie.
Do we want to, you know, we'll wait and talk about the Russell Wilson stuff in a second. Let's get to some of the deals that went down on Tuesday after we recorded and on Wednesday morning, including the Patriots signing 17 more. No, I'm just kidding. The Patriots have not signed anyone else. I do want to point out, though, that we will have daily free agent recaps continuing as we move along. Of course, tomorrow is Thursday. Normally, you'd be firing up your brackets about noon on a Thursday, but there's a modified schedule this year, which means your brackets aren't happening until Friday. So you got an extra day now to fill out a bracket, and we want you to compete with us in a bracket challenge game. I'll be there. Wilson will be there. Breach will be there. And Sully's invited too, if you want to come along, Sully. Prisker probably won't be there, but you can jump in. So join us at cbssports.com/pick6brackets, and the winner gets a $100 gift card to Paramount Plus. You guys can watch the Champions League only on Paramount Plus. It's not on television, so you will need that $100 gift card to do so. It is a great value, and I will throw in some sort of I'm looking at my office for some swag. I'll throw in something good.
You're a Philip Rivers doll.
I said something good.
Wow.
Breach will throw in his bow tie.
Yeah.
Winner gets the bow tie. I'll autograph it too in Irish.
Breach will eat his bow tie.
Brinson, if someone
19 hours and 36 minutes to sign up as of right
now. If you're listening to this, even if you're just going to slap a bracket together or you already have a bracket on CBS, go fill out a bracket, please, because we're trying to get the maximum number of people and we want to embarrass the other podcasts that are doing this. And we're the ones getting embarrassed right now, apparently. cbssports.com/pick6brackets. You can also create your bracket and use it to compete, or create a group to compete against friends and fill out your bracket for a chance to win a Nissan Rogue and a trip to the 2022 Final Four. You can play on the CBS Sports app, or again at cbssports.com/pick6brackets. The biggest news really overnight, and it did happen overnight, which I guess I don't even know. I saw it this morning on the way to school. Was it late last night or early this morning that Trent Williams signed with the San Francisco 49ers, Sully.
I believe it was early this morning. I might be getting those times wrong, but ultimately I do love this move, and there's, and it looks like they're continuing to add on that offensive line. I actually don't think we should sleep on the 49ers. I know that there's a lot of talk about the trade or possible trade of Jimmy Garoppolo, but what they tell me and what they've been saying is that they're not moving him. They were trying to go after Mitch Trubisky or Andy Dalton and these backup guys, and that pretty much backs up what John Lynch was saying in that interview earlier this offseason that said that they're not going to trade Jimmy, that we need to insulate ourselves and just have a solid backup in the event or inevitability that he does get hurt. You're talking about an offensive line that's probably going to keep him upright more so than usual. And this is a team that was, you know, just in the Super Bowl. They really just had injuries destroy them last season. But if they come back healthy and Garoppolo's still on that team, I don't know why you can't look at them as a solid NFC team.
I wonder if Garoppolo will not be on the team. I wonder if there's a plan in place. Maybe similar to what the Patriots are doing, and that at the 12th spot, they have their eye on a quarterback and are willing to move up for one. And we know this draft class is full of athletic quarterbacks, and we know Kyle Shanahan can work wonders with just about anyone, but guys that can...
If Garoppolo becomes available, I'll take him. I will welcome him back with open arms, you know, on this St. Patrick's Day. I'll bring my Italian brother home.
But, how many more games is Garoppolo worth than Cam Newton to you?
The 9-7 last year. If he was on, well, I don't know if he was on that team. I don't know who any quarterback. Tom Brady couldn't get that team pretty far. I could only get them into the wild.
No. I don't know, Sully. A lot of fans have been telling me that it's all Cam Newton's fault that the Patriots stunk last year.
No, it was the same roster, and Tom Brady could take them to the wild card and then lose. So Cam Newton. Barely, you know, just missed the playoffs.
I don't think Tom Brady wins 10 games with that team.
I think they just find a way to be perfectly
maybe,
honest.
Maybe.
Just be blind.
What about Garoppolo versus
Garoppolo? Garoppolo with in 2020, they're probably, I still feel like it's just more of how they want to play football on the offensive side. So I still think that they figure out ways to win. Again, I don't think they're winning the division last year because Buffalo just took a leap that, you know, with Josh Allen that I just think that was unmatched. But I do think that they probably rival for the playoffs more so than they did last year, obviously, and they wouldn't be under 500. So I'd probably say maybe 3 wins that's how I see it.
Yeah. It's, I mean, look, I think that the team would probably be better with Garoppolo just because. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to go there. I don't think that Cam was as bad as people made out to be. Like, I thought he was looking like he was playing okay and getting it to sort of figuring it out, before he got COVID and, you know, they missed the Chiefs game.
I think he was still hurt.
He may have been. And it was like the weirdest offseason in professional football history. It was going to be hard for any new quarterback who didn't have some knowledge of the system and wasn't Tom effing Brady, you know, going to Bruce Arians. And even Brady kind of struggled out of the gate a little bit. Like
I was
going
to say, well, it's so tough to even make that argument around here. And I agree with you, but people will say, oh, well, look what Tommy did down in Tampa. And you're like, well, yeah, but that's different. Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback
like,
of all time.
I also think that and this is what winners get to rewrite the history books, but the Bucks didn't even win their division. You know, like it's like the Bucks stormed 2020 and dominated. It's like they were flirting with making the playoffs for a hot minute. Like they got steamrolled by the Saints and some other good teams. I'm not saying they weren't a great team and they came together at the perfect time and Brady played really well down the stretch and the defense was lights out. I'm just saying this is not like this, a 19-0 Patriots team in Tampa Bay and they had to figure some stuff out and the Pats didn't have that same luxury and Cam Newton is not as adaptable a quarterback probably as Tom Brady.
Right. I agree with you. But going back to the 49ers, because I don't want to just continue to see Patriots off of my Boston roots. But going back to the 49ers, they could conceivably go for a quarterback at 12. It wouldn't surprise me at all. But to me, you have a team that was, you know, a quarter away from winning the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. I just wonder if they look at that and say, if we didn't get injured last year, like who knows what could have happened there? So I, you know, yes, Garoppolo could become available and they could decide to move on from him, but I just can't keep looking back at the fact and saying, well, they might feel that they just like the guy and they were looking for an improvement like every team does for every position outside of like Kansas City because they have the best guy in Patrick Mahomes. But ultimately, I think that they'll be fine, especially if, you know, now that they got Trent Williams back, Alex Mack looks like he's signing with them as well. that's a pretty sturdy offensive line to, you know, again, insulate, to use the word that John Lynch used, for a quarterback that's been pretty injury prone.
I feel like John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, though, are kind of biding their time and waiting out the Deshaun Watson thing. Like, well, I agree
completely with you, but I think they're not the only ones. That's what makes this offseason so interesting.
Well, right. But there's only a handful of teams that Deshaun Watson's actually going to want to play for, and he has a no trade clause. And are we going to talk about Deshaun later? Should we talk about it right now?
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about it after the break.
But
First of all, there's six of them breached, so that's more than one hand, okay?
That's
several handfuls.
49ers perspective, though, is that I don't think, like, if you ask me what the chances are that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be this team's starting quarterback in week one, I put it at like 65%. I still don't think it's that high. I still think they're looking around. I think they want to upgrade because they know how talented this roster is. As Tyler said, this team just went to the Super Bowl a couple years ago. And, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo played very well at times that season, but also felt like if they just had a slightly better quarterback, you know, maybe they win the Super Bowl. So,
can I just say that I can't even take Breach seriously because he looks like he's working at Bennigan's on St. Patrick's Day with that bow tie on.
What's wrong with Bennigan's? I drove a Hyundai to Bennigan's once.
There's nobody who I feel like this. There's nobody that, like, Breach would like to, if it was socially appropriate, to wear what he's wearing every day of the year. Or like wear, like, he'd love to, like, dress up like Frankenstein and come on here and be like, just like in dumb costumes, but it's not socially acceptable.
So, and by Breach, the way,
so Breach leans into like Halloween and St. Patrick's Day.
And he would do it every day without pants. There's no way he's walking around top up, dressed like that, bottom down.
I honestly thought about showing up for this podcast wearing just the tie and nothing else up top.
Worth pointing out, the last two times that, Alex Mack, big Kyle Shanahan fan, they've worked together multiple times. In 2014, they were together on the Cleveland Browns when Kyle Shanahan was Mike Pettine's offensive coordinator and Alex Mack was the center. And I'm sure you remember this, Ryan, with Brian Hoyer at quarterback, they were winning the damn AFC North halfway through the season. And then Alex Mack broke his leg and their run game fell completely apart. He would later go on to sign with the Falcons in free agency, paired up with Kyle Shanahan again as the OC there. And they went to the Super Bowl and Matt Ryan was the MVP of the league. So adding, you know, Trent Williams, who was getting a ton of interest from Kansas City and apparently also Indianapolis, I believe, keeping him in place. He had a phenomenal season last year. He knows that Kyle Shanahan system really well. And adding Alex Mack, like, I feel like the 49ers are absolutely a sleeping giant. And whether or not they upgrade that quarterback position is a big deal. Like, if they can – I mean, you know, it's weird though. Obviously Deshaun Watson is better than Jimmy Garoppolo, but Jimmy Garoppolo knows that system is a good fit for that system. If he plays 16 games, they're going to be a competitive, dangerous team.
Yeah, he's Jared Goff. I mean, he's Jared Goff with Sean McVay.
I don't think he has Jared Goff's floor.
And that can get you to the Super Bowl because it's happened for both teams, but do you feel good about it? And
I feel like he's has a smaller window. Yeah, his ceiling's not as high, but his floor is not as low either.
Other than Tyler, who's, you know, he's been on the Patriots before. Does anyone get excited about Jimmy Garoppolo coming to your team? Like, if he were coming to the Steelers, I'd be like, ugh, all right, I guess.
I mean, I'll probably bet Jimmy Garoppolo to be MVP at like 50-1.
Well, you bet. Who'd you bet for comeback player of the year last year? Was that
Trent Williams, and he should have won if it weren't for Alex Smith overcoming a life-threatening leg injury.
Damn you, Alex Smith.
Yeah, pretty much. We mentioned AJ Green signed with the Cardinals. William Jackson. Can't get through the first half of the podcast without pointing out that Breach lost another player from the Bengals. Carl Lawson, hey down. William Jackson, hey down. 3-year, $42 million deal with the Washington football team. William Jackson had a great rookie season and then sort of tailed off a little bit. But, you know, with Paul Gunther being gone, maybe, that was sort of a call. Like, maybe the change in defensive coordinators messed him up. Maybe he's a little banged up. I think we could see old William Jackson have a nice season, nice bounce back season in Washington.
It's not even a bounce back season. He had a good season last year. It's just, I'm on a better team now with a smarter defense and a team that's going to play much better. And you know, it blows my mind about this. And it's so not
just, you do admit that the Washington football team is better than the Bengals.
A better defense is what I said.
No, you said a better team.
A better defense.
Not what
He's on a better defense. Mm-hmm. He's on a better defense.
Oh,
The Bengals were beating Washington during the regular season until they injured Joe Burrow. Brinson, why do you have to bring that up? But I will say is that this letting William Jackson walk just blows my mind, because you look at what the Bengals did last year in free agency, and these things aren't necessarily directly correlated because last year's last year and this year's this year. But this team gave Trey Waynes the exact same contract that Washington just gave William Jackson. I think they gave Trey Waynes 3 years, $42 million. And then William Jackson just got 3 years, $42 million. And so it just blows my mind that they're not willing to stick their neck out there and pony up the cash to keep guys who are already in your system. Why aren't you keeping a Carl Lawson or William Jackson? Why are you bringing in these new people who might not work? And so what you have is, instead of spending the money on William Jackson, what did they do? They went out and signed two other corners. And Wilson, you said, you know, you like the Mike Hilton signing. They got Awuzie from the Cowboys. Doesn't seem great on paper. So you're like, all right, we'll get two defensive backs for the price of one that we would have spent the money on William Jackson. So I get what they're thinking. I'm just not necessarily a fan of it.
And for those people not watching on the live stream, Debo mercifully put up a headline that reads, losses keep coming for Bengals, comma breach.
I missed that, actually. That's good. Let's take a picture of that one. Send it to Breach for his second wedding.
not his second wedding anniversary.
Second wedding. Do you think you're required to attend somebody's second wedding?
No, you're not. That's the rule I have.
Not during a pandemic.
No, not now. Just like in general in life. No. I skipped somebody's second wedding. I was sort of like, it's your second one. You know, like, what do you want me to do?
First of all, it's, you know, at least when in your 20s, and so you may have some experience with this, and the cost of living may have gone up on this, but back in the day, it used to cost at least $1,000 to go to someone's wedding, travel and gift and all that stupid stuff, getting drunk and whatnot. Like, look, man, you get one shot at it. I'm not spending $8,000 because you can't decide on who you want to marry. So I'll be there for the first one. I'll see you on the Zoom call.
It depends on where that second wedding is.
You're a big traveler.
If it's in Barbados, I'm showing up. I don't care how much it costs. I'm just going to be there, and I'm going to drink your free wedding alcohol, and I'm going to have fun, and probably not even attend the wedding. I'm just going to have fun and then fly home.
Quick side story on second weddings. My girlfriend's acquaintance, I'll leave it at that, had a bachelorette party. They were getting married, the whole thing. Actually broke off at the wedding at the bachelorette party, and then like 2 years later they got back together and got married. And everybody was like, well, we're not giving you anything new again.
Divorced. Yeah.
Wow, that's a great story.
That's crazy.
Well, I just thought the only time I've ever, I don't want to name any names, but to say the wedding that I skipped, the second wedding I skipped, the person who got remarried actually met their spouse at my wedding.
And they were married at the time their future spouse?
So they had gotten divorced. But one person in the second marriage was my friend, and the other person was my wife's friend. And so, like, we were gonna both, but we had Robbie to deal with, it's my son to deal with, and we couldn't find a babysitter. So it was basically like we had to decide who was gonna not go to the wedding, and it ended up being me for whatever reason. I don't know why I'm telling that story. Let's take it. Speaking of weird stories, the Carson Wentz trade, official now, announced by the Eagles and the Colts. What's amusing is that the Colts announced that they acquired Carson Wentz for a conditional second round pick, while the Eagles announced that they gave away Carson Wentz for a conditional first round pick, which is not how it works, Eagles, but I understand why you're trying to spin it that way. Good job, by you. And of course, the Eagles did a leader on the field and in the community. We will miss you, Carson. Like these, I'm a little tired of these modern day, Casey Hayward's cut by, the Chargers. It's like, thank you for everything, 47, or, you know, whatever. It's like, look, he was there 2 years. I mean, like, you won five games each year. That's just an example, right? But like.
You don't want CBS to send out a press release when you get fired?
They're not sending out a press release when they fire me in a month or two.
Okay. Well, we'll tweet about it at least. I mean, I think it's the right thing to do.
I'll tweet about it.
I'll put it on my, Instagram story or something.
The Carson Wentz trade. You know what trade is not official yet?
Give me a hint.
It involves someone we've already mentioned on this podcast.
Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff.
Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff. They're waiting that one out.
It probably has to do with the Rams salary cap situation.
Oh, it's true. Getting cold feet.
And sticking with quarterback news really quickly, Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, says Jaguars have been receiving calls about quarterback Gardner Minshew. So something to
third round pick.
This is key. This is key for this podcast because Breach has claimed he thinks Gardner will net a third round pick. So if he gets if the Jags get like a seventh round pick for Gardner, it's humiliating for Breach. And if they do get a third round pick for Gardner Minshew, it is just Breach just dry hump dunking Ryan's face.
Gardner Minshew, Brinson, on the next podcast after that, you just have to play the dunk music for 40 minutes straight.
I was trying to figure out who would get a Minshew tattoo out of this. See where
Wilson has to get. It's like, yes, Wilson has,
why not?
Just get a collage of quarterbacks now.
Yeah, keep it coming. By the way, the team that trades a third round pick for Gardner Minshew deserves to win zero football games. So you can
who would be trading a third round pick for their backup quarterback because everybody has
the Bengals.
That'd be hilarious if the Bengals did it. Breach is right, but at what cost? All right, let's take a break and we come back. What did the Bears offer for Russell Wilson and why did the Seahawks say no thanks?
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, so Russell Wilson, this is the rumor, Dan Patrick of the Dan Patrick Show, who, not a friend of the program, but Andrew Perloff.
You make it sound like I hate you.
Yeah, I don't know. He's just never been on the show. But Andrew Perloff has been on the show, and you've been on Andrew. Have you done Andrew Perloff's podcast?
I sure have, and that I did it probably 6 weeks ago, and I was one of the first persons. He was one of the first people to agree with me that Mac Jones could end up being a pretty high draft pick. So
I love Perloff. He's a great dude. Listens to the podcast.
Bengals fan.
Andy Dalton fan. Huge Andy Dalton fan.
Also Dan Patrick from Cincinnati area. Well, so Perloff. Bengals fan, Patrick, Cincinnati. It's all coming up Ohio guys and Andy Dalton.
You know what's funny is that in 2018, Sean Wagner McGuff said on this podcast that he thought that Patrick Mahomes was already better than Brett Favre. And at the time it was an outrageous claim. Because it's Mahomes' first season as a starter. I know for a fact that like people who are fairly higher up at CBS, like our bosses, people were like, "What the hell is this millennial saying on this podcast?" I was like, "Sean, what are you talking about, you Looney Tune?" And Perloff heard that, and they ended up having a debate on the Dan Patrick Show about it. He's like, "This millennial clown on the Pick Six of CBS's podcast, like, said that Mahomes is already better than Favre." But you know what's crazy? It's like, Sean was right. he ended up being correct. I mean, he wasn't better than Favre at the time, but
he was right about Doug Peterson too. He was right about a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Maybe Sean's not as dumb as we think he is.
He shouldn't have left. He'd be taking so many victory laps right now that he'd be out of breath. He wouldn't have.
I know. It's like you had all these W's lined up at your current job talking about professional football and you left to make a 2-4 at Colorado Law School. What are we doing here?
But he would have to take in a season long dunking, for saying that Aaron Rodgers was completely washed up.
True. That may be why he quit actually. So anyway, I mentioned Russell Wilson.
He was fired.
Yes, he was fired. He was fired for his list. So Russell Wilson, according to Dan Patrick, this is a classic Pick Six tangent. According to Dan Patrick, the Bears offered the Seahawks 3 first round picks, a third round pick, and 2 players on the Bears roster. And the Seahawks said, No, thank you. Your thoughts, guys, on the and then that led to the Andy Dalton signing when the Bears realized they were out of it, out of the Russell Wilson chase.
Well, Breach has talked about this before. You can't trade. You can trade 25 first round picks if you don't have a quarterback to give back. It's just not going to happen. Number one, and number two, if you're the Bears, how do you go from, and Sully sort of touched on this, how do you go from Lamborghini Russ Wilson straight to Hyundai? I mean, can you go to Lincoln Continental? Is there somewhere in between you can go? And they said no, and which is especially egregious slash surprising because Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are going to get fired with the current setup. There, I don't know what plan B or C is. You're making a face, Breach, but you're not winning 10 games with Nick Foles and or Andy Dalton. So that's why I'm puzzled that they went. I understand why they didn't get Russ Wilson, but someone better, please.
I'll throw one thing out real quick from Jason Lockenfora, because Dan Patrick said he didn't know who the players were. JLC said the Bears actually gave them a list of players to choose from, to pick two from, and they included Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks on that list. So they were just saying, take any two players off our roster. And like you just said, Ryan, not getting a quarterback in return is a big part. And I joked on Twitter, like, hey, maybe in June, after that June 1st, the Seahawks can spread the cap hit over 2 years if the trade happens after June 1st. Maybe the Bears flip the trade and throw Andy Dalton in the deal, to grab Russell Wilson from Seattle. But one other reason I don't think you do this if you're the Seahawks is because the Bears don't have a high first round pick. And so, you're not going to be able to do much with it this year. And then once Russell Wilson is playing for the Bears, right, those future first round picks are not going to be high first round picks. So you're basically getting probably in the 20s. And that's not what you want when you're giving up your franchise quarterback. You know, you want the number two overall pick from the Jets or something else. You don't want three picks in the 20s.
No, Breach, you're nailing it, because that's exactly what I was just going to say. And that's with a lot of these teams that we're talking about with potential quarterback moves, whether it's the Bears, New England, San Francisco, all these teams that are in the teens and outside the top 10. You have the New York Jets. You have the Miami Dolphins, potentially. You have the Denver Broncos, the Carolina Panthers, all of these teams that have a top 10 pick this year, very much in the range to get one of these quarterbacks that can outbid you no matter what. And of course, all of these quarterbacks like Wilson and Deshaun Watson have no trade clauses, so that kind of changes things a little bit. But we're kind of already seeing, like, they're not just going to trade to you to and get nothing in return. They're still going to have to get something reasonable back. And especially with Seattle, like, I still feel like they believe that they can mend the fences with more so that they can than Houston can with Deshaun Watson. So they're not going to do this unless it's like a slam dunk. We're absolutely getting a legit quarterback here. Cause like you said, if you trade him to Chicago, yeah, you're going to get like whatever it is, 19 this year, I believe is where they're picking. And then you're going to be in the 20s after that. Cause he's going to make them better no matter who, what other defensive stars are leaving.
One last screw job by Mitch Trubisky is way out the door. He won those football games and got him such a low pick that he couldn't trade for Russ Wilson.
Well, here's the point that I've been trying to make is that if you're the Seahawks and you have won no less than 9 games every year since you drafted Russell Wilson in 2012, and you've been to the playoffs all but 1 year in that stretch, and you've won a Super Bowl, and you came really close to winning back-to-back Super Bowls, you've been wildly successful, as much as Seahawks fans and Russell Wilson are whinging about the state of the Seahawks. If you trade Russell Wilson for a low pick this year, and 2 more low picks in the future, because Russell Wilson will be playing for that team and those picks therefore will not be very good, and a 3rd round pick plus 2 Bears starters. Do you know what you are? You're the Bears. You turned yourself into the Bears. The Seahawks don't want to be the Bears because the Bears are having to buy a Hyundai because they can't even get into the Lamborghini store. They're not even allowed, like they're just window shopping. They're telling all their fans, oh, look at us. We're looking at Lamborghinis and Ferraris and all these Mercedes. We're looking at all these nice cars. And then you go and buy a Hyundai. Like, that's the problem. Like, you set up these expectations and now everybody's mad. If you just signed Andy Dalton from Jump Street, nobody'd be that pissed off. They'd be like, you can't get Russell Wilson. And the Seahawks, they don't want to be in a situation where they have to buy a Hyundai because that situation sucks.
And there's one other thing with these quarterbacks too. You know, we're seeing like these crazy trade rumor, you know, trade offers for Russell Wilson. And I'm sure that, you know, behind the scenes, the teams are calling the Houston Texans with similar offers, but they're just not answering the phone. But wouldn't it behoove these teams in Houston and Seattle, if they are going to make the decision to trade them, wouldn't it behoove them to just wait until the start of the draft anyways? Cause, you know, Roger Goodell, once he says, the 2021 NFL draft is open, that opens the door for them to trade even more future picks, all of these teams.
That's a good point. Is that technically true?
I believe that that's true, unless they've changed that.
You can only trade 2 years into the future.
Three drafts
in the future. I don't know the answer to that, Sully. That's a great, I mean, like, and you may have, if you've researched it,
I'm almost positive that's true, where now all of a sudden you could start talking, what would that be? 2024? Draft picks, like, you know, if that's get off the, you know, I'll double check it, but I'm almost positive that's true.
I'd never thought about that but that's a great point. I mean, the mechanism for allowing you to then get, cause you know, these teams right now can be like, well, we'd love to give you four, but you know, rules of course prevent us, but you do it as soon as the clock starts. You're like, all right, give us four first round picks. That's not a crazy idea, especially if you're trading up to the Jets or the Dolphins. I don't think Russ is going to get traded.
No, it doesn't make any sense. Like Prisco says, they shouldn't trade Deshaun Watson in Houston. That's a different story. They wronged him every which way.
Well, we'll get to Watson next.
No, but my point is that that's a completely different situation in Seattle. I feel like Russ has won the power struggle more times than not in Seattle. That team is really good. Just sign a couple offensive linemen, draft a couple offensive linemen. They have playmakers. Their running game is clearly a big part of what they do. Their defense is fine. They need to get better. But I mean, gee, what do you want? Like Chicago is a much worse situation, as you just said.
And real quick, Sully is correct on that. So if a trade went down today, and you wanted first round picks, so if 49ers wanted to give a bunch of first round picks to the Texans for Deshaun Watson, the most they could give them right now is 2021, 2022, and 2023. If they do it once the draft starts, they can get four first round picks because they can get 2021, 2022, 2023, and 2024.
There's absolutely no incentive for Houston or Seattle to even entertain it until the draft starts.
That's only if you think you're going to get four first round picks.
You might get for Watson, I would assume. He's younger. That's the only reason why I say that.
Well, the only issue, you're trying to thread a needle if you're the Texans, for example, because yes, you have Tyrod Taylor, but is that how you're going to roll into the 2021 season?
Well,
if you don't have something coming back, then that's a problem.
Well, and if you're the Texans, you also have 15 minutes to do it. I think it's one of those things where, and look, I mean, I'll be perfectly frank.
Please.
If Jack Huchtamy's running the show, I would guess that he hasn't thought of this. Like, I would guess that it may have. Now, Nick Caserio is a pretty smart dude. So we'll see.
And he was with the Patriots for 20 years, so he knows every single rule in the rule book. So,
well, did you see what JLC wrote on Wednesday? I thought it was very interesting. Is that and I'm curious, you know, what you've heard about this, Sully, but like, what's the buzz starting to come out of New England is that Bill Belichick's spending, like, this is sort of the way they're spinning it, is Belichick's having to spend to make up for all the mistakes that Nick Caserio made in the draft.
Yeah, I saw this. It does. I don't think anybody who has been paying attention believes that because
Bill Belichick is not going
to say, go ahead. He's got this thing on autopilot and he's going to say, yep, that's totally cool. If anything, you know, if anything, you hear it's the other way where there's a lot of research being done and then things get kind of overhauled and overtaken once the season ends. So
like the way the Raiders work. And so, that happens in a lot of NFL buildings.
I don't think it passes the smell test for anybody who's, again, been paying attention and seeing the way the Patriots have been operating.
Yeah. If anything, it just come out and be like, you know, that picture of my dog sitting at the table. He actually did the last three drafts for the Patriots. I fell asleep. I'm old. I fell asleep. Nike pressed a bunch of buttons and that's how we ended up drafting these players that aren't any good. And so now I'm taking back control and these drafts should be much better moving forward. We pointed out this too, like the Cowboys are out on Russ. The Bears are now out on Russ. I mean, unless, you know, barring some shocking development. And it seems like the Raiders. I guess if they're bringing all these other pieces back, maybe it would be fine. I just have a hard time believing Russ thinks he can go to Las Vegas and win.
I'm just confused by that list to start with.
New Orleans seems like they're probably out. Or, yeah, who knows if they're out or not, but they look like they're intent on Taysom Hill, Jameis.
Yeah, I mean, they could still, I don't, let's see, do the Saints get under, Saints, Spotrac still has them under the, salary cap table. Let's see. I'm trying to see what the,
they're still in the red by nearly $6.5 million.
Yeah. I'm trying to see if the NFLPA has updated their numbers. I cannot find it. Usually the NFLPA has a forward facing, salary cap thing, but you don't always know if, oh, they changed their website. Damn it. So anyway, yeah, that's not helpful. I would assume that they're all under at this point, right?
The public NFLPA site hasn't been updated in a second because it still has the Saints at 32 million under.
I think they update it every day at 5.
Then it'll be updated at 5. And well, everything the Saints have done might not have been filed with the league yet. So maybe at 5 is when.
Well, so NFL Communications posts a transaction wire every day. And usually it's up around 5. We'll see what happens when that actually comes to fruition, because presumably the Jared Goff Matthew Stafford trade would be on there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, good. Transactions is up. Let's see what we got. Ooh. No Goff.
No Wentz. Prisco.
No Prisco. There's no Wentz on here either. Today is the 17th, right? Yeah.
St. Patrick's Day, Brenton. I'm not wearing this tie because it's not St. Patrick's Day.
I'm just making sure I saw it right. These are transactions 317. I don't see a Wentz. I don't see a Wentz on here. Interesting.
Mm. Wah, wah.
What do we make of that?
Well, Cowboys cut the punter.
All right. Debo wants us to keep this under 70 minutes. So let's talk about Deshaun Watson instead of fumbling around NFL websites. Yeah. It's just interesting that neither of those quarterback trades are officially on there.
It'll happen, or it won't. What's up with Deshaun?
As long as they tweet it.
Yeah, as long as they tweet it. That's right. Well, but the Rams and the Lions haven't tweeted it. That's the thing. Chris Burke, our old pal from FanHouse, did note that on the Lions homepage team site that Matthew Stafford jerseys are for sale.
Maybe it's a St. Patrick's Day sale.
Maybe so. St. Stafford's Day sale. So Deshaun Watson. Joe Person wrote about this, our good friend of the show, Joe Person of The Athletic, wrote about this and how the Panthers are cranking up their intense pursuit of Deshaun Watson, and that many around the league believe, and common sense dictates, that the signing of Tyrod Taylor by the Texans is like a half-hearted white flag saying, all right, come and get him. Deshaun Watson is, by the way, going to be dealing with a civil lawsuit. He hasn't said what the accusations are, but he tweeted a statement saying that he denied whatever accusations are out there. I think the timing of that is at least interesting to ponder, as it relates to, you know, his future with the organization. Take of that whatever you will. But with Watson, it does appear, Sully, that there are, and Joe wrote about this, several teams. We mentioned the 49ers are going to be involved. We know that the Jets and the Dolphins have to be at least checking in. The Panthers are hot in pursuit. And David Tepper doesn't like the word no. He doesn't take the word no. But maybe more interestingly, the Patriots are being floated as a team that could chase Watson. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that would be fun. That would be great. That would match the aggressiveness of everything else they've done this offseason. I mean, we were talking about it earlier. Like, you know, yes, matching the aggressiveness would also be trading up into the back end of the top 10 and selecting a quarterback. I just wonder, and, you know, I've kind of been looking at how a lot of these contracts have been structured for New England in terms of what they've gotten in free agency. They still have a relatively decent amount of cap room. I don't believe Watson's cap hit in 2021 isn't anything crazy. I believe it's just around like 10 million or something like that. I don't believe that contract extension is kicked in really. So, you know, obviously you can make that work in there.
This cap hit is, right, just under 16 million this year.
16, I'm sorry. Sorry.
No, but that's nothing.
You know, in the grand scheme of things, nothing crazy. And with New England probably anticipating a lot of this, you know, and like a lot of these teams anticipating the cap going up, especially with these new TV contracts, that's a huge thing to kind of, you know, that I'm sure all of these teams are watching. It would be nice. I just don't think it's realistic, if I'm being honest. And just because of what I've said earlier, you have a ton of these teams that would love to have Deshaun Watson who have way better trade packages than you. Unless Deshaun Watson or Nick Caserio are in cahoots with Bill Belichick and it's like, I'm only going to trade you to New England, and this is the only place you're going to go. And I just don't see how New England can have a competitive offer. That's basically what it comes down to. And, you know, another example of it would be what JLC said or reported over the night was that the Philadelphia Eagles, don't sleep on them. They could be a player in all of this. And
no, I famously said on this podcast, I said, I'll do it. I don't know what I said. I think I said I'd get like a full body Deshaun Watson Eagles tattoo if I'm not saying I'll do that now, but if Watson became an Eagle, like it just didn't seem possible. And yeah, but you're right. They have the number six overall pick. I mean, that's, and
you're talking about the number six overall pick with the Eagles. You have top 10 picks with the Denver Broncos, who's kind of been rumored to be an interest of him. Yep. You have the, Carolina Panthers.
You have the 49ers, Panthers, Eagles, Jets. Dolphins, Jets, five teams.
There's no way. Again, unless there is some backdoor deal with Nick Caserio and Bill Belichick, but I don't know why you would do that if you're Nick Caserio. You don't really, yes, you, I guess you kind of owe them, but you not, you owe them like a dinner. You don't owe them Deshaun Watson. So, you know, I don't see it. I don't see a New England. I just don't see it. You know, as much as you'd like to see it, you don't see it.
One thing I think that's interesting about this Watson stuff is that there is a chance that Houston has imparted exactly what you just said to these teams is like, look, we have to be able to find a quarterback in the draft with the pick, like 8, 9, 12, 15. It's not going to cut it. We just need more because we have to secure the future. So it may be, foisted upon these teams. It may be their responsibility. So in other words, if you're the Patriots, you call the Falcons and say, hey, look, we'll give you 15, a third round pick in 2024 and Stephon Gilmore for number four overall. And then the Falcons are like, yeah, sounds great. We're looking to trade down anyway. And then all of a sudden the Patriots have the fourth pick or the Panthers do something similar, right? Right. Whatever it is. And maybe the Falcons and Panthers, you get the point, but like you move up far enough where you can send that pick to the Texans knowing that they believe they can get a quarterback. So I think that is kind of interesting how these teams could maneuver around in the draft to try and get up there.
Yeah, I mean, again, like I'm saying, that could happen. But then all of a sudden, if you're New England and you go to number four, well, then Carolina's just going to go to number three and trade with Miami. Like you can't, like New England can't trade with Miami. They won't. If you are the path to get Deshaun Watson, they're just not going to let you do it. So yeah. You know, it's a tough roadblock.
I
was just going to say, you actually put this in Slack. The news that this sexual assault allegation, sexual impropriety allegation against Deshaun Watson. I wonder if that's going to have any effect. We sort of saw it. I mean, we don't know what the details are. Deshaun Watson's denied it, but there is a court filing. But I wonder if it's going to have like the Laramie Tunsil effect where his dad released that video of him wearing the bong mask. I think it was his dad. I don't want to malign
him. I want to say it was his stepdad, but maybe.
Okay. Maybe a relative. In any case, it certainly hurt his draft stock, and he's a very, really good player. I wonder how this is going to sort itself out and if teams will be, concerned about potential, you know, issues growing from this because, you know, we don't know how it's going to play out.
And the one thing I will say to that is that I feel like teams won't be as hesitant as maybe as they would be if there was a criminal element to this, like a police report, you know, where there's going to be an investigation and he could be charged with something. This right now, it's just a civil lawsuit. And the lawsuit basically says that he asked the masseuse to do something inappropriate, but there was no physical touching or anything, and it just made the
Well, there was one incidental, as I was reading through it as Brent was talking, there's incidental touching, momentarily, and then the session promptly ended with the masseuse.
Right. And so that becomes a dicey court case, a civil lawsuit case, but again, you know, he hasn't been charged, so I think that's not gonna, I don't think teams are going to shy away unless something worse comes out. Right. And that's possible, you know, who knows? And so the other part of this is that I have a tough time seeing the Texans trading him to an AFC team because I think they're going to want to get him as far away as possible because, you know, it has been an absolute disaster the way this thing has gone down and how his career in Houston is going to end. You don't want to see him. A chance you're going to see him every year. So you ship him off to the NFC. You're seeing him every 4 years, maybe every 2 years now. There's the 17th game, but you're not seeing him often. And so I just feel like the 49ers and the Panthers seem like the most logical spots.
Right. Like the whole notion that they would trade Deshaun Watson to the Jaguars for the first overall pick. While, you know, reasonably within the realm of possibility because, you know, Watson, you know, in most years you wouldn't blink. You know, I can't take the first pick. I want Deshaun Watson. Trevor Lawrence, a different cat, obviously. But you're not playing Deshaun Watson twice a year. Like, you're not sending him to the Jaguars and letting Jacksonville have Deshaun Watson for the rest of his career. I mean, you're still gambling on Trevor Lawrence. You're not gambling on Deshaun Watson. And he's going to burn your house to the ground twice a year when you play him.
And if you're Jacksonville, you're a little worried because you trade that pick. All of a sudden, the Texans get Trevor Lawrence. What if Trevor Lawrence never loses to Jacksonville? And that's staring you in the face of, oh, my God, we gave up on that. We would have had a rookie contract of the superstar. I mean, so it goes both ways there where I'm not sure that either team would want to do it.
Is there a worse fan base to be right now than the Texans?
In sports?
No, just in the NFL.
Oh, no, not even close. I mean, maybe this close. Like the Browns just made the playoffs. Lions might be worse.
I was waiting for you to say Bengals. I was going to say
Chicago.
Ooh. Well,
they
just went to the playoffs. They've been to the playoffs like two of the last 3 years.
The Texans have zero hope. And
well, see, no, that's what I was going to say. The opposite. It was at least if you're the Texans, if you get rid of Deshaun Watson, I mean, again, unless they trade it for like something stupid, you're going to get a quarterback in return. You're going to get a prospect in return. So there's a path to a quarterback.
But if Deshaun Watson goes to the Patriots as a Texans fans, I am livid to the point that I'm just done with the organization.
That's true. I would agree.
That is a non-starter because Casario, Easter reconnection, and every time Bill Belichick trades with anyone, whether he's had these people in his employ or not, it always works out for the Patriots. It never works out for the other team.
My biggest thing is just what is your path to a franchise quarterback, and when or if whatever it's going to be with the Texans and Deshaun Watson, that will produce a franchise quarterback, whether it's they mend the fences with Watson and he stays or you trade him and you get something in return. Chicago, I know there's only one person I think that is optimistic about the quarterback situation in Chicago, and he's below me on the screen.
Wearing a dumbass bow tie.
I mean, the Bengals have Joe Burrow. The Browns went to the playoffs. I mean, I think the Lions are just stuck with like, you know, Jared Goff and Quintus Cephas, and they haven't won.
I think Lions fans are at least, okay, Dan Campbell might be crazy, but at least he's not Matt Patricia, and they hired a new Brad Holmes. They have a new GM. Everyone in Houston disagrees with Jack Easterby having the job. David Culley is he's between a rock and a hard place. He's just trying to mind his own business. They put him out there to give press conferences where he doesn't know the answer to the questions. One of the best players on the planet does not want to be there, and the organization's digging their heels in, and the owner doesn't seem to care.
Well, how do you feel if you're a Panthers fan where you're all in on Deshaun Watson, but what if you don't get him?
What are you talking about?
They have the eighth overall pick. They can draft a quarterback. They have Teddy Bridgewater, Panthers worst case fan. Scenario.
You're getting like the fourth best. Well, we're talking about fan bases that are not in a great spot. I'm saying
the Panthers are remotely near the Texans?
I'm listening teams off.
Here's something.
The Bengals are worse off than the Panthers.
No, the Bengals have Joe Burrow.
They killed Joe Burrow. You got him hurt. You're Bengals screwing
fans
up. You're in the
not,
process.
That's absurd. The Bengals fans are worse off than the Panthers. That's the most absurd thing you've ever said on this podcast.
You just said the Panthers might have to get the fourth best quarterback. The Bengals got the first best quarterback last year. The Chargers got the third best quarterback. Justin Herbert turned out to be pretty good. So we don't know. And I don't, yeah, the Panthers.
We do know the fourth best quarterback never works out.
You do. And you're wearing a bow tie.
By the way, Andy Dalton was the fourth quarterback taken in the 2011 NFL draft.
Fourth quarterback. In the first round.
I actually think he was the fifth quarterback taken.
It felt like
a good dunk.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Yeah, because it was Locker, Ponder, Gabbard, and Cam.
Brenton dunking, but getting close to traveling.
It's a fake news dunk. I don't care. It's like Dennis Smith's dunk on Duke. It's like this epic dunk. It was after the buzzer and we lost the game. Played for NC State. Just to be clear, when you talk about the Bengals fans having it better than the Panthers fans, and I'm trying to clarify this because it just didn't seem like this could be possible. It does appear that the last time the Bengals won a playoff game was 1990.
Is that right, Breach?
What does that have to do with who should be more optimistic? Who has it better?
That's 30 years, bro. That's a long ass time.
That doesn't have to do with anything going into next year.
Right. We're not looking. I guess we're not doing like franchise history.
You clearly have a different criteria than everyone else right now. You're not even having the same conversation.
You haven't won a playoff game in 30 years. You had the number one overall pick last year. He's considered by many to be a transcendental quarterback, and you broke him in half. Transcendental?
You're welcome. Yeah. Dunk on yourself for not having to look at
me. Transcendental. I thought, huh?
Getting corrected by Mr. Peabody over here.
So just to be clear, you haven't won a playoff game in 30 years. You broke the number one overall pick. Your team sucks. Your offensive line is trash. You can't, you're getting rid of your own players so you can sign Trey Waynes and Trey Hendrickson.
No, they didn't sign Trey Waynes.
And everything you said applies to the Panthers except Teddy Bridgewater's your quarterback and not Joe Burrow.
Panthers were in the Super Bowl in 2015, bro.
That was 6 years ago, Brinson.
All right. Why are you yelling about the Panthers and the Bengals?
Because Breach's just saying crazy stuff.
Speaking of the last time the Bengals won a playoff game, it was probably back when Mel Blount was playing. And if you like fantastic stories, if you like incredible chatter with the Steelers legend, you're going to want to check out this week's All Things Covered podcast. Four-time champ and Steelers legend Mel Blount joined Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden to discuss the rule named after him, the best Pittsburgh player not in the Professional Football Hall of Fame, the best quarterback in franchise history, spicy, and a lot more. Make sure you can follow All Things Covered anywhere you find this podcast. All Things Covered, by the way, will be announcing Patrick Peterson's future, so you're going to want to tune in to that. Let's go over some winners and losers. We'll be rapid fire with them. Sully, you're the guest. We'll let you start. Who's your big winner of the first trace day as a free agency? Preferably today.
I'll go with today because I think everybody would know where I would go if I went over the past 3 days. But I'll go with the 49ers. Like I was saying earlier, you know, you're solidifying the offensive line. If you can't improve upon the quarterback position with Jimmy Garoppolo, you still have a guy that took you to the Super Bowl 2 years ago and was, again, a quarter away from pulling that thing out. You know, again, totally, you know, you still got to win the thing. But right now, it does seem like they are, like you said, Brinson, a sleeping giant in the NFC West.
I'm going to go with the Cardinals. In particular, Breach's guy, A.J. Green. Because we talked about it earlier. I don't think A.J. Green has a lot left, but I think he's going to a good situation. We talked about the division being really, really good. I mean, I don't think the Seahawks are the worst team in that division, but the way they're going with the quarterback situation, you think the Cardinals are going to be competitive. So I'll go with A.J. Green in particular and the Cardinals, just adding old players who want to retire in beautiful southern Arizona.
I'm going to go with Washington.
Good explanation.
They signed a Bengals player, and any team that gets a Bengals player has gotten better. No, I mean, we saw them get Ryan Fitzpatrick already, fix the quarterback spot, and you know what? Their defense was already good. Now they're shoring up the secondary. William Jackson, I think, was one of the most underrated cornerbacks in the NFL last year because he played on a defense that was horrible, so you just didn't really pay attention. So I like what Washington has done in free agency so far. And, you know, coming off a season where they won their division, they're looking like a team that could repeat.
I will say that a winner is Deshaun Watson. I know we just covered him at length. Obviously, the news of the civil lawsuit is not a good thing. That doesn't make him a winner. I'm gonna lean into this a little bit harder. I don't want to accuse anybody of this, but the timing of the release of the lawsuit getting out there. And look, if something happened and this and Deshaun Watson did something wrong, then by all means, like, you know, this should be met with the full extent of the law. But I do think that it is interesting in the heart of this window to trade Deshaun Watson that a civil lawsuit would emerge here. I don't want to accuse anybody of anything, but I think that is, I mean, am I crazy for saying that's the timing is at least odd?
I would say it's either curious timing or poor timing, depending on how the situation evolves, right? Like, if it's something serious, well, that's poor timing on the part of Deshaun Watson if something bad happens. Yeah. And if it's something a little nefarious or something along those lines, well, now it's a little curious of how that thing is kind of sprouting up.
It's at least curious. But the reason I have him as a winner is that I think a tweet I saw today from John McClain, the venerable John McClain of the Houston Chronicle, who said that the Texans have not publicly stated that they will not trade Deshaun Watson since January. Since then, David Culley has been on the Huddle and Flow podcast with Steve Weiss, over there on NFL Network and Steve Weiss and Jim Trotter, excuse me. And, he basically said, like, there's a chance, he's our quarterback for right now, which is the phrase that the Rams use with Jared Goff. And McClain said he believes now that, and he had written an op-ed piece saying the Texans need to trade him. And he said that the Texans, he believes now that they will trade him. And so I think we're getting to the point where the Texans are going to have to make this decision to move on. And the way that you've seen these teams with the Panthers, the Patriots, the 49ers, the Jets, the Dolphins, all these teams maneuvering in a almost non-traditional way with their contracts, with their public signaling. I think that this is going to be a crazy bidding war leading up to the draft and that we will see Deshaun Watson get traded. I don't know how soon it'll be, but Tyrod Taylor getting signed, that's huge for him too. So I'll say Deshaun Watson is a winner. What about you for a loser, Sully?
Probably I want to say the Raiders just because it just feels like I said to start, like they're just trending in a completely different direction than I thought they were going to be.
You could say Derek Carr's a loser because his offensive line is trashed.
Sure, but just in general, like, you're looking at the Raiders heading into this offseason when, you know, Russell Wilson wants to come join you. You're part of that discussion. I don't think anybody would have thought that. And you're like, okay, you're starting to look at the Raiders a little bit differently. There's pump about the offensive line being, you know, a key reason why. I mean, you know, you look at what Derek Carr had blocking him, and then you look at what Russell Wilson was blocking in front of him in Seattle. You're like, okay, I can kind of see what the appeal is. And obviously, you know, exterior being in Vegas with his wife Sierra and all that, you know, off to the side. But then in a matter of what it feels like a month or a few weeks, the offensive line is all shaken up. It just feels like they just completely went in the other direction than I thought they were going to. I thought they were kind of ascending, and it feels like they're going the other way now.
Yeah, I was going to go with the Raiders too, but I'll make it simple. I'll go with Michael Brockers for getting traded when this eventually goes through from the Rams to the Lions after smack talk and Jared Goff for being a terrible quarterback.
Probably my favorite offseason situation.
Fantastic. Like, if you're Michael Brockers, do you even say anything or are you just like, whatever?
Hey, buddy.
You just lie. You just go, oh, I was misconstrued.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Or you'd be like, I mean, no offense, bro, but he is better than you. Yeah, tell him the truth.
Jared Goff knows that.
Yeah.
Break. My loser is the Seahawks. My bow tie is the only winner on the podcast today. You have Russell Wilson vocally complain loudly all offseason about, hey, can we please do something? I need some help. If you're not going to get me help, can you please trade me? And none of that happened. They didn't bring in help. They didn't trade him. So no one wins. Only thing that happened now is that Russell Wilson's probably more angry than he was 4 weeks ago when he was already angry. So now you've upset your starting quarterback. You didn't add any players to make your team better. And so not only are you back at square one, but you're actually like behind the eight ball at square one. So I'm not sure what the Seahawks are doing. And now we know everything they passed up from the Bears. I'm putting the Seahawks in the losers column.
Okay. I will say once again, I think I'm repeating myself from yesterday a little bit, but I will echo that I think free agent wide receivers are the big losers here. I mean, it's wild that we are into the official league year and multiple high-end pre or current in their prime wide receivers with big production on the books have not been signed. I mean, Kenny Galladay and Juju Smith-Schuster and Curtis Samuel, Will Fuller, like all four of those guys are unsigned. That is pretty crazy. It's even a little weird because – you know, the teams that we've seen that are interested in Deshaun Watson, you know, I don't know, go out and sign Kenny Galladay. I mean, maybe it's a thing where they're trying to save cap space to worry about that later, but golly, like I would want to be making it as attractive as possible for Deshaun. Not that it necessarily matters entirely there, but I don't know, man. It's pretty nuts that these four wideouts haven't, and more guys haven't been signed.
Well, I can just tell you from a New England standpoint, again, one of the big spenders over these last few days, there's really just, you know, better value elsewhere in the league. And I said this on HQ earlier in the week. You basically, you know, from a Patriots standpoint, you got your top two pass catching weapons in Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith for 2021 for what is going to be around a combined $25 million. Would you rather those two guys or one Kenny Galladay? I would rather the two tight ends with New England. Now it's different with each offense and all of that, but you're getting two premier pass catchers for the price of one in wide receivers. They're just different titles, different positions. So maybe other teams are looking at it and saying just the market's a little bit skewed for these guys. Again, Kenny Galladay, good player, Pro Bowler, all that. Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, good player, but are they 1B players that want to get paid like, you know, the DeAndre Hopkins of the world? And right. I don't know if teams want to do that.
Wow. Some breaking news before we get out of here involving the Bengals. They are re-signing cornerback Tony Brown.
Woot, woot.
Woo. Your team sucks, Breach.
Fun fact, Brinson, you know who the fourth quarterback taken in the 2011 draft was? Christian Ponder.
Yeah, I said there that. I listened to the names.
I'm just making, I want to end on that note.
Did Kaepernick get drafted above Dalton? He did,
nope.
Right?
He got drafted right after Dalton.
That's right, after Dalton. Okay, so Dalton was five, then Kaepernick was six. Yeah, there you go. So you say the fourth quarterbacks never work out. You know who else didn't work out? Fifth overall quarterbacks. That's who didn't work out.
That's not true.
And they ended up being journeymen in cratering GM's careers.
Lamar Jackson was the fifth overall quarterback taken.
Boom! All right, that's it. We've been dunked on enough here. That's the show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching us slow. We didn't get the DeAndre Hopkins trade that I predicted, or the big blowout trade that I predicted in the 4 o'clock hour, but I'm sure that something is brewing. It's a little too quiet on the NFL front. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Thanks for chatting. For Sully, Wilson, and Breach, I'm Will. See you guys later.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.